Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ideal Family Life, 7th Canto, Chapter 14th, and we'll do, I'll read text 15, and then we have text 16 on the board. Devan Rishinri Bhutani Pitrinatmanam Anvaham Svavritya Gatta Vitena Yajeta Purusham Pratak. The translation is, every day one should worship the Supreme Being who is situated in everyone's heart. And on this basis, one should separately worship the demigods, the saintly persons, ordinary human beings and living entities, one's forefathers and oneself. In this way, one is able to worship the Supreme Being in the core of everyone's heart. Now we have text 16. Yarhi Atmano Dikaradya Sarva Syur Yagya Sampada Vaitani Kena Vidina Agni Hotradina Yajet Yaryatmano Dikaradya Sarvasyur Yagya Sampada Vaitanikena Videna Agnihotra Dina Yajet Yaryatmano Dikaradya Sarvasyur Yagya Sampada Vaitanikena vidina Agnihotra dina yajet Yaryatmano dikaradya Sarvasyur yagya sampada Vaitanikena vidina Agnihotra dina yajet. Yayatmano dikaradya. Sarvasyur yagya sampadaha. Paritena vidina. Agnihotra dina yajet. Yahi Atmana Dikaradya Savasyur Yagya Sampadaha Vaitanikena Vidina Agnihotra Dina Yajet Yahi Atmana Dikaradya Sarvasyur yagya sampada Vaitanikena vidina Agnihotra dina yajet Yayatmano dikaradya Sarvasyur yagya sampadaha Vaitanikena videna Agnihotra dina yajet. Ladies. Yayatmano dikaradya Agnihotra dina yajet. Yatmano dikaradya. Sarvasyur yagya sampadaha. Vaitanikena vidina. Agnihotra dinaya jet. Naryatmano dikaradya. Sarvasyur yagya sampada. Vaitani kena vidina. Agnihotra dinaya jet. Yarhi. When. Atmanaha. Of one's self. Adhikara adhya. Things possessed by him. Under full control. Saravaha, everything, Siu, becomes, Yajna Sampadaha, paraphernalia for performing yajna, or the means for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaitanikena, with authorized books, that direct the performance of yajna. Vidina, according to regulative principles. Agnihotra adina, by offering sacrifices to the fire, etc. Yajet, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One is enriched with wealth and knowledge which are under his full control and by means of which he can perform yajna or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must perform sacrifices, offering oblations to the fire according to the directions of the Shastras. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. If a grihastha or householder is sufficiently educated in Vedic knowledge and has become sufficiently rich to offer worship to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must perform yajnas as directed by the authorized scriptures. Bhagavad Gita 3, verse 9, clearly says, Yagyartart karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Everyone may be engaged in his occupational duties, but the result of these duties should be offered for sacrifice to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to possess transcendental knowledge as well as the money with which to perform sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the Shastras. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, chapter 3, verse 52, Krite yad jayato vishnum, tretayam yajato makai, dvapare paricharyayam kalo tad dari kirtanat. The entire Vedic civilization aims at satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in Satya Yuga, by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart, and in Treta Yuga by the performance of costly yajnas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwarpa Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple, and in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtan yajna. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already begun, the Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of so-called scientists, philosophers, and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya. And the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy man and the educated man should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and joining the Sankirtan movement. Yogai Sankirtan Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. Translation, when one is enriched with wealth and knowledge, which are under his full control, and by means of which he can perform yajna or please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must perform sacrifices, offering oblations to the fire according to the direction of the Shastras. In this way, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agnatu Medandasya Agnanjana Salakaya Chakshulin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakopa Tirubhishtra Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada. So reading through these verses, one can see all the requirements one has according to their status in life, and especially as a householder, as grahasta. And fortunately for us, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport what our business is. Harinama, Harinama. I remember today's big Sankirtan night today. It's Halloween, October 31st, and as many as possible we're hoping to see. I hope to be there also. I actually want to take my camera and video of this. It should be wonderful Hari Nam going on in Hollywood this evening. Back in 1971, I remember Bhanu Bhatta Prabhu and others, you probably remember, when we go down on Sankirtan, we would chant Hare Krishna mantra, of course, all the time, but we also chanted this verse, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatir Amnyata. We would chant that in the Hare Nam party, because this is the business. As Prabhupada said, this Hare Krishna movement is there. I saw my godbrother, Tejas, he was saying, he was writing something, and he was saying, which I always remember, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he's the Hare Krishna man. Prabhupada is all he gave us was Hare Krishna. Didn't give us anything else. I wrote on there, I remember being in Vrindavan. I was talking about Vrindavan. Of course, you go to Vrindavan, the most wonderful place, Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, what do you think is the biggest festival of the year in Vrindavan? Yeah, but one day. What one day? Radhastami. That's right. It's not Janmastami, isn't the biggest festival of the year. The biggest festival in Vrindavan is Radhastami. Everywhere you go, it's Radhe, Radhe. The trees are chanting it. You see it everywhere you walk. You see it on the walls. You see it on the trees. You see it on the lips of everyone that walks by. And if you stay there long enough, even as a Hare Krishna, you're forced, it seems. You're forced. Someone walks by and they go, Radhe, Radhe. And you just go, Radhe, Radhe. You know. But I always remember on morning walks with Srila Prabhupada, every morning, up and down Bhaktivedanta Marg, Chittakara Road, and wherever Prabhupada would walk, through the bazaar, to Madan Mohan Temple, the same chanting would always go on. And Prabhupada's response was always the same. And it was, Hare Krishna. Didn't matter what anyone said. They could say, Radhe, Radhe. They could say anything. Prabhupada just said, Hare Krishna. Morning walks here, someone would say good morning, Prabhupada go, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada was the Hare Krishna person. He came to the West to give us one thing, Hare Krishna mantra. That's why he came. And he says here so nicely, he says that this, anyway, he says that this Hare Krishna movement is already there. And this is the business of everyone, particularly the grihastha, is to support in some way this society, this pushing on of the Hare Krishna. Of course, we know the Hare Krishna movement was started by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 5 years ago, he started this Sankirtan Jagya, which again we'll be performing this evening. Very simple. Prabhupada made everything very, very simple. And when he came here in 1965, almost 50 years ago now, he came to America, he came to New York City. 1965, New York was the capital of the world at that time. We can't no longer say that anymore. There's so many cities, so many countries, so much opulence, material opulence is there. But at that time, New York City was the number one place. And when Prabhupada left India and went to America, of course, as a sannyasi, after some time, he wound up in that most opulent city of New York, even though Prabhupada was in the Bowery and Second Avenue, not the nicest places. But he went there as a sannyasi, and he started the movement in the West in that very same simple method. He sat down in the park. We were there just last month. My wife and I, we went, took her to Tompkins Square Park. She's always wanted to see Tompkins Square Park and stand under the tree. There's the Hare Krishna tree. The tree is known as the Hare Krishna tree. That's what it says. It's a little thing. And we went to go see it, and they said, well, you know, it has a plaque. So I was thinking there was going to be this plaque about A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada back in 1965 and did this, but couldn't find anything. And then we asked a young girl, we said, do you know where the Hare Krishna tree is? Oh, yeah, it's around that bend right there, the Hare Krishna tree. So everyone knows it in New York, the Hare Krishna tree where Prabhupada sat and started this Sankirtan movement in the West. So we finally went there, and up about 30 foot high, there was just this little metal thing that was nailed in, and it said, Hare Krishna tree. Right? Is that what it said? Hare Krishna tree. And that was it. And I know some years ago, there was other things were there, but, you know, it's Kali Yuga. Nothing stays put very long. And even things that part of the Krishna consciousness movement, if some even devotees will take it as memorabilia, you know. So anything that's not nailed down, bolted down, is in danger of being taken. But anyway, so way up high where no one could pick it off, it said the Hare Krishna tree. So Srila Prabhupada came to this country 50 years ago, and he just sat there and chanted Hare Krishna. Played his kartals and chanted. He didn't, after being here for so many months, he didn't think, how am I going to, you know, I have to go to whatever it was, you know, go to Sears or go to whatever's over there and buy myself a suit. Got to look the proper way. I'm going to be dealing. I want to bring all these, you know, sophisticated people of New York into chanting. And then we just sat down in the park in his dhoti, kurta, tilak, shaved head, and he chanted Hare Krishna. Even though 500 years had gone by from when Lord Chaitanya started this process, he did the exact same thing. He introduced rice, chapatis, dal, sabji, all sitting on the floor, like we're sitting on the floor here today. There weren't tables and chairs. He just sat on the floor. But because he was pure devotee of the Lord, with complete faith in Krishna, the Maha Mantra, and the instructions of his spiritual master, he was successful. You know, we see now, time goes by, becoming so inventive. Prabhupada, one thing, he didn't appreciate very much of Westerners, Americans in particular. He said, always changing, always inventing something new. Here in Los Angeles, when I was with him, in his room so many times, Prabhupada would bring up this change word, changing, changing. And I've told these stories many times. On the altar, in the deity worship, whatever it is we're doing, somehow or other in the West, we think we have to make it better. We have to change it. And just like the process of deity worship, it's going on for thousands of years. Just in recent history, it's going on for hundreds of years, thousands of years. And it's never changed. And Prabhupada said, like he introduced with us in the morning, the lordships, early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, they're eating, offered sweet rice, rasgullas, sandesh, burfi. All these things are offered to them every morning. And one day I brought Prabhupada some maha prasadam from the deities. At that time, Shalavati, she was a head pujari. She was known as the person to contact from anywhere in the U.S. If you needed information, Prabhupada said, you ask Shalavati. And Prabhupada was training her. But Prabhupada's servant, and I, being with Prabhupada for a good amount of time, kind of understood Prabhupada's mood. The way Prabhupada saw things, the way he did things. And anyway, these sweets were offered. And I always cooked for Prabhupada, made him his sandesh. We had his sweets. He had his meals that he was preparing every day. But I saw this maha prasadam, and in particular I saw these sweets, which were a combination of dried fruits and little nuts and little puffed rice and little peanut butter. And so I thought, I'll put some on Prabhupada's plate to see what happens. So I did that. So as I was describing, I'm in and out of Prabhupada's room at lunchtime, just in and out with chapatis, you know, running back and forth. So towards the end, I come in and Prabhupada said, what is this? I said, oh, that's from the deity plate, Prabhupada's maha prasadam from the deities. He said, but what is this? I said, well, they're sweets they make. And I described, and Prabhupada just shook his head. He said, why? You know, why are they making these things? I said, He said, you Americans, you just want to change everything. He said, I've given you such nice sweets. Huh? Like now, we have, imagine gulab jamuns. So happy I had the other night. Devotee gave me 4 gulab jamuns. You know, we ate them all like in 2 minutes. You can't get gulab jamuns like that anywhere anymore. You know that you can taste the ghee in them and you can the sweetness of them. And it's all just powdered milk. In most places in India, even from when I went there years ago, they were like round pancakes. You know, they use a lot of flour in them and whatever else they put in them. But here, I could still tell 40 years later, thank Krishna, somebody's making real gulab jamuns. So Prabhupada said, I've given you these nice Bengali sweets. He said, why do you change? You know, but it was much more than just about changing a sweet. It's about changing everything. And this is our business. This is what we do. In the U.S., we change and adapt all the time. It's always changing. Look at this. I'm so eager to go out on Hari Nam tonight just to see how much things have changed. I put it on my little Facebook thing, and Chaitanya Das, he said, oh, she said, you know, I remember in 1970 when I went out there, she said, it's crazy out there. You know, you're really going to, it's going to be something out there. And I thought, 1970, it was crazy in 1970. Imagine what it's like 40 years later. It was like daily craziness, and I'm sure you be very careful out there. But everything—it's all you see now on the television, in the movies. Everything's about vampires. If you're not, you know, if there's a show, if it doesn't have a vampire in it or a werewolf or a zombie, it's just not going to last very long, because that's all that's out there. It's everything is just sucking blood. You know, you've got werewolf sucking blood and vampire sucking blood. Zombies are just eating entire human beings. But this is the consciousness. So this is has always been there, but it's just 100%. Prabhupada said, you know, when said, are there ghosts? And Prabhupada said, wall to wall. Well, that's what it is now. It's wall to wall, just undead. The undead is out there. And Prabhupada brought living back to the West. Huh? He brought Krishna consciousness, eternal life, back for everyone. And he did it very simply, just by chanting Hare Krishna. And he describes this. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. This was Lord Chaitanya, he said, didn't speak philosophy to the masses. They went door to door, brought them outside to chant and distribute prasadam. And this is what you have to do. Lots of prasadam. Lots of prasadam, lots of chanting. And then purification will happen. But it's a simple process. It doesn't take a lot of thinking. Prabhupada said, everything's already there. You just have to follow. It's not a difficult thing. He would talk about Saraswati. We all know the famous Saraswati, Malati, Shyamasundar's daughter. Well, she was like 4 years old when I was there in India in 1972. And Prabhupada mentioned her in a lecture. He said, our Saraswati, because she was, of course, this cute little girl, blonde hair, 4 years old in India, you know, she was, everyone would come up to her. And, of course, they would play, you know, they would play dumb with her and they would ask, you know, who is this Krishna, you know. And Prabhupada, he was, you know, quoting her. And he said, and Saraswati would say, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, that's perfect. Her preaching is perfect. You don't have to know anything else. It's not hard. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our business is to serve him. When I joined 1971 in April, and some months later, maybe it was 4 months, 5 months, I don't know, it was when the roadshow began. And the roadshow initially, it was a very simple thing. I remember it started out and we had old school buses. They were all getting painted up. Of course, Kirtanananda, he organized it all, and a bunch of devotees from New Vrindavan and came from other places. Mangalananda was there, of course, and Varanasi was there. Tosan Krishna and Narada Muni, they would go out and book engagements. Of course, people didn't know. They booked engagements for this show, this traveling show. People didn't know when we came, we were just a bunch of Hare Krishnas. But it evolved over time. And what started out, which was very simple, and it was just chanting, kirtan. Mangalananda, we all know Mangalananda's songs. He would play guitar and sing songs. And we had shows, little puppet shows. And, of course, they'd do fish out of water. And the bird in the cage, and it was a very simple philosophy that they were giving. So then, at one point, Vishnu Jan Swami came in, Sudama Swami came in, Kirtananda took some of his crowd back to New Vrindavan, which is where I went at that time. And then shortly after that, I became Prabhupada's servant. So then, this roadshow was evolving. And they developed, it was more of a stage performance. So for the people, you know, because you had to attract the masses, keep them satisfied and give them something to see. And they had a yoga village, which I'm not sure exactly what was in the yoga village, but Prabhupada talks about it in his letters. And he said, what is this yoga village? He said, what is this road show going on? He said, our process is simple. He said, we chant and we dance. He said, Mridanga Kartal, chant and dance. He said, if you give these people a big show, he says, they may be attracted. He said, and even you may make some devotees. He said, but ultimately, when they see we're not about this big show, we just chant Hare Krishna, he said, they'll just go away. He said, we're interested in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Imagine, this is what we're interested in. This is what Srila Prabhupada brought to us in America. Huh? Such a jewel. Huh? The mood of Lord Chaitanya. He said, we're not interested in becoming expert musicians. He would always play these when people, we wouldn't do this, do that. He said, we're not so much interested in that. He said, we're interested in chanting. He said, we're interested in pleasing the Lord, not an audience. We're not out there to do a show for 10,000 people in some big stadium, have everyone stand up and applaud. We only want one, two people to applaud. We'd like to see Radha Krishna, Rukmini Dwarkadish. Wonderful, wonderful. What Prabhupada call it, huh? The emotion of devotion. It's terminology Prabhupada spoke, such a level that Prabhupada would try to bring us up to. And this level of devotion to Krishna, not anything else, not for ourselves, that I become some famous personality. My very first meeting with Prabhupada was when I received initiation, first initiation. And again, 1971, Henry Street Temple, July 22nd, and we were all, of course, in awe of Srila Prabhupada, and we didn't know much of anything, but we were going out every day on Sankirtan. So I knew what to do. I offered obeisances, left side to the Vyasa-san, offered my obeisances, repeating the regulative principles in my head so I didn't forget, because he always asked you, what are the four regulative principles? So I parroted them out. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And just looked. And how many rounds do you chant? And that was my first mistake. And I said, well, I'm chanting 20 rounds, Srila Prabhupada. And he went, Like, sure, today you're chanting 20. What about tomorrow? You know, what about 10 years from now? So I proudly said, I'm chanting 20. I was doing more than 16. So that he didn't impress him. And he said, okay. And he took the beads and he said, your name is Srutakirti. And then he said, Srutakirti means one whose activities are world famous. And all the devotees are going, ooh, Hari Bol. And then he looked at me and he said, and you are Srutakirti Das. So that was my next instruction, was I was nothing about fame. Huh? Krishna's the famous person. Huh? Prabhupada never was interested in any fame. That's why he said, Hare Krishna. That was it. Give everything to Krishna. Give all that energy to Krishna. And by doing that, Prabhupada became the most famous person in the world, huh? Giving everyone Krishna. But he did it so simply. So he told them, stop this road show, forget it, finished. That was the end of the road show, the Yoga Village. He said, it's not what we do. We just chant Hare Krishna. Distribute his books, get other people to chant Hare Krishna. That was the form of kirtan that Prabhupada always wanted to see. Very simple. I would see him. You know, he didn't require an audience. No audience. You could be sitting in your room, sitting in the servants' quarters, and you'd hear the harmonium. They were the most ecstatic times. You'd hear Prabhupada just sitting in his room upstairs there and playing harmonium and chanting, doing bhajan. Whenever I heard it, I'd run in, because I knew he'd run in, sit down, and he'd just go like that, looking at, he'd just look at the cartels and say, okay. I was okay, you can play cartels. So then you just sit there. And I didn't even, most of the time, I didn't even know the different bhajans to chant, but I would just play cartels along, just to be there. And that was it. It was just his devotion, his emotion. Didn't require a schedule or anything. He just did it. Chant his rounds, do his bhajans, read his books. And one time in the manor, I was in there and he was doing his bhajan. And when he finished, I just said, which I, this is a fact, I said, Prabhupada, no one chants like you, Prabhupada. No one sounds like you when you chant. And Prabhupada said, I have my own style. What a style. He had a style to just glorify the Lord. That was his style. Love. Love of Krishna. When you have that, none of these other things are not important. Important. You can just sit under a tree and chant, glorify your Lord. And people will come. Why do they come? Krishna is in the heart. Prabhupada said, if you present Krishna purely with love, Krishna is in their hearts. If the sincerity is there, they'll be attracted. Don't need the big song and dance show, flashing lights and so many things. You see, you travel around the world, you see how Krishna consciousness movement is evolving. I was in one place for Janmashtami recently this year, midnight, and they had a light show. I mean, it was literally a couple devotees, and they were twirling. They were like batons with lights on the end, you know, like fake fire on the end. All this flashing, and then they turned all the lights off. It was outside, so the temple, they turned all the lights off so everyone could, you know, see this light show and things. And I'm thinking, what is this? We just chant. You know, Prabhupada knew Vrindavan. What did he do? You know, from 10 o'clock on, they were reading Krishna book in the temple room, passing it around. Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana, just listening, relishing the pastimes of Krishna. People were nodding out, and Prabhupada just shaking his head. You know. Prabhupada was wide awake, fasting, wide awake, listening. He spoke. And this was what was going on. Simple. But this is our Western idea. We have to make it to get a big, big crowd. Crowd of what? Crowd of werewolves and vampires and what are the other ones? Zombies. Zombies. First, you just chant. Let them hear the chanting. You know, a light show isn't going to purify anyone. It's not going to go inside the ear and purify the heart. The chanting will. That's the only process. So it's very simple. Prabhupada's saying here, this is the business now of grahasta, ideal grahasta person. Somehow or other you support the Krishna Consciousness Society. And that Krishna Consciousness movement, very simple. Chant Hare Krishna. So tonight we have the opportunity to go to, I guess, out there to Hollywood. And it is, you know, devotees have always come from this group of people, the different people. Someone wrote me today and was talking about one of my god sisters. Said, man, she's crazy. And I thought, well, that's our qualification. We're crazy. You know, you look around the room and you think, I remember a long time ago, devotees say, I would never be with any of you people if it wasn't for Krishna consciousness, because we really don't have a lot in common with one another. We're all very different, unique characters. But they're the people that become Hare Krishnas. They're characters. So the opportunity is there. There's lots more characters out there in the world. And we know in the West, the further west you go, the more degraded it becomes. So by the time you get, to Los Angeles, you got very degraded people, and you get to the West Coast, the further west you go. So these are the people that Lord Chaitanya has come to save. These are the people that Srila Prabhupada has come to save, to give them Krishna, most merciful, to the most fallen. This is the process, but it's very simple. Just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Okay. Yes.
according to the different modes of material nature.
You want to start again, please?
In the Bhagavad Gita, it explains about how everything can be seen according to which modes it's into. And I was wondering about, you know, like we do, you know, one of our main weapons is prasadam distribution. So if we take something, for instance, in the mode of ignorance, like, for instance, something that's old or cooked by non-devotees, and we chaunt it up and make that to prasadam, we offer that to Krishna and we hope that, you know, Krishna's going to accept it. How are we, you know, is that prasadam, and is that going to really purify the heart, or is, you know?
If we take something like what?
If we take, like, sometimes, you know, because of economics and because of time and things like that, sometimes things like, say, canned food is taken and offered and it becomes prasadam, and that's distributed. And prasadam is our main weapon for purifying people. So does Krishna accept that? Because in Bhagavad Gita it says that he only accepts things in the mode of goodness.
Yeah, Prabhupada was asked, you know, I've been making a study almost, I guess, of Prabhupada's letters for a few years now. Because I put one on Facebook every day. That's what I put on. And much to some people get annoyed that I put letters on. It's very interesting the different reactions you get if you put something on. Just like about kirtan, sometimes I'll put on kirtan, Prabhupada talking about how it should be simple. And especially kirtan, he said, like, you don't use the harmonium during a kirtan. Well, you say that nowadays, and that's, like, you know, that's really a bad thing to say, because harmonium is there all the time. And Prabhupada said, of course, harmonium is very nice. It should be melodious. But anyway, the point I was making was Prabhupada's given lots of instructions in regards to food, and always has to be fresh. I mean, frozen food, Prabhupada says, is just ghastly, you know. And then he says dried food, drying things. You use food in India, that's what they dry. He said, but frozen foods, he said, is useless. And he said, anything you make yourself is 100 times. If you grow your own produce, you know, your tomato, whatever it is, vegetables, fruits, anything, 100 times better than store-bought food. So there's definitely different qualities are there. But as far as buying things, like he said, you know, ice cream was not offerable unless you make it yourself, because you don't know what's getting put into it, and other things as well. Bhakti Vaibhava Swami told a story about Prabhupada in Germany, because, you know, the German people are known for being very strict, let's say strict. He said fanatic, you know, they're very strict people. So the German devotees were like that. They were very, very strict. In fact, they were so strict that, you know, they were on a morning walk, on a codicy, and they were walking through the fields there in the farm area, the Schloss. They were walking through the fields. So they were going down this one path, and one of the brahmacharis said, Prabhupada, you know, maybe we should go this way. And Prabhupada said, why? He said, well, that's grain. It was wheat field. He said, and if we're walking through it, he said, we might raise up dust from the wheat and we'll breathe it in today's codicy. That's fanatic. So Prabhupada lifted his cane and he said, don't be a fanatic. And then he went walking through the field, you know. He said, but then they were going out on book distribution every day. He said, and, you know, one of the other qualities of Germans, they like their bread. They have these breads in Germany, hard, dark, like a bite. They're like, but they really like it, you know, these breads, so they eat them. So because it takes so much time to make chapatis, you know, anyone remember chapatis? You see them every now and then. Sometimes in our society, these round, flat things look like tortillas, but made with wheat flour called chapati. Being sarcastic, because you don't see them very much anymore. But so you were explaining to Prabhupada that is it okay that we buy bread, because we're going out in the vans and we're doing sankirtan book distribution, and it's very time consuming making chapatis. And Prabhupada said, no, you have to make chapatis. He said, no bread, chapatis. I said, but Prabhupada, it takes so much time. He said, that's all right. He said, you'd have to make the chapatis. You know, you have to have, you should make your own. To answer your question, Prabhupada was very strict about what you could offer to the deities. You know? I mean, I've been in temples now where they have two separate kitchens. You know, that was, we never had two. What, who is the other kitchen for? I would ask, what's this other kitchen? Well, that's for the devotees. What do you mean for the devotees? What are they eating? Well, you know, they cook for the deities. They cook high standard. But then they cook for the devotees. I said, well, who do you offer it to? Oh, that picture there on the wall. So this is what's going on. You know, these things are going on in our society. But this is not a this is not the standard that Prabhupada gave us. These are the changes. You know, we want to change things. Oh, so many things go on. So he wanted us eat these chapatis. Here they used to have that machine. What was it? It was called some Bhakta Das machine. They used to roll out the chapatis and they would be oblong like that. You know, at the time they were making hundreds of chapatis, so they tried to streamline it here, but they never puffed up. You know, never like a real chapati. Yes. It, you know, there are things, of course, and this is what they bring in, you know, there's time, place, and circumstance. You know, there's emergency situations, there's exceptions, but when the exceptions become the rules, then everything gets lost. And that's what will happen over time, you know, as you can see, you know, like you have when you have the two lines parallel, but if one's just that, just a little degree off, by the time you get a few miles down, it's, you know, it's that far apart. So if the standard isn't kept, if the, you know, those who don't keep the standard within the society, you know, a few generations away, you won't even recognize. You know, you walk into a temple and you won't know what it'll look like. You know? And, yes. Panabhata Prabhu.
Thank you, Shri Kadipu, for a very nice class. It's talked about in the verse in the purport how the grihastha should support sacrifice, and specifically the Sangatan Yajna. And we read all throughout Srila Prabhupada's writings how the standard for the grihastha is that he should give 50% of his income to the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, I don't know any grihasthas that are giving 50%. I haven't heard of any that are giving 30 or even 20%.
Or five.
Or five, maybe. And so I'm just wondering, is this part of the deviation you're talking about, or is it just we're in kind of an emergency situation where it's so hard for people to just support their families today? You hear about whole families, husband and wife, having to work long hours just to support their family. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are we to look at this?
Yeah. You say nowadays, there was never a day when 50% was being given, not even back in the 60s and 70s when Prabhupada was here. Of course, everyone was giving 100%, you know, at that time. They were giving 100% of their blood to Prabhupada in helping to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So, of course, it depends on different situations. Prabhupada had, you know, Prabhupada had a situation, grihasthas living in the temple. If they lived in the temple, he said it was separately. Like here in New Dwarka, there was a different, you know, there was the apartments across the street from the temple, so they lived together. Many did service in the temple. Like myself, I was doing service. I was traveling with Prabhupada, and he said, she has to have a place to stay. You know, when I was married and I had a wife, she had an apartment to stay in. So there certainly wasn't any income. So it's, and I remember a devotee in Vrindavan, and he was working, managing in Vrindavan, the temple, and Prabhupada told him to develop a makut business, the deity paraphernalia and everything, and sell to the temples, and he could support himself in that way. So, you know, one has to, but that's a tough one. But shastrically, that injunction is there. It was always based on the Goswamis and the 50% and the 25% for emergencies and 25%, you know, to be used. And so the one thing when Prabhupada spoke from the Vyasasan, he never deviated from speaking from Shastric reference. Everything was from Shastra. But that's what I always say. When I was with Prabhupada, I always saw this whole other side, huh? That Prabhupada would speak. And many times when devotees would ask him something or want to do something, and Prabhupada would say, okay, he'd be in an agreement. It was because they were going to do what they were going to do. So he just said, okay. If he says, this is our stand, this is what you should do, and you do something else, then that's very offensive. You know, there's offenses, and then there's big offenses, and so it's not all one. You know, there's different degrees of doing things. So Prabhupada was very compassionate, and he dealt with everyone as individuals. And that's why I say when he spoke to me, he never spoke to me. He just kind of spoke at me, you know, telling me things as if they were just out there. But he never said, you should do this. Like when I first left Prabhupada after 16 months I was with him, I got married here in Los Angeles. And somehow or other I went to Caracas, Venezuela. Chicxulkananda said, we have a temple down there, come down there, we need you. And so I thought, hey, this sounded something exciting, you know, after being with Prabhupada, traveling around the world, you know, three times or something in a year. I wanted something exciting. In the meantime, Kirtanananda was sending him letters saying, I want Srutakirti to come back to New Vrindavan with his wife. Prabhupada had the letter in front of him, and he never said, you should go back to New Vrindavan, Kirtanananda. You know, he sent you. And this is how things were in our society. You were like property. You know, you belong to whoever the manager was in a temple. And he never said, Kirtanananda wants you to come back. You should go back to New Vrindavan. He said, I have a letter here from Kirtanananda, and he's asking that I send you to New Vrindavan. He said, he's asking me that I... He never said, go to New Vrindavan. He said, he's asking me that I send you. He said, you know, what do you think? And I said, Prabhupada, I don't want to go to New Vrindavan. And you'll see a letter afterwards. And Prabhupada said, I've mentioned to Srutakirti about your request. He said, but he doesn't want to go back to the farm. And that was it. So, yeah, it was an emergency situation. But then how long does an emergency last? You know, are we always in emergency mode, you know, in our society 50 years later? Like I said the other day, I was saying, Prabhupada was saying, you know, he was asking me to leave my family. But that was an emergency situation. Prabhupada was there with all his soldiers and troops just spreading Krishna consciousness all around the world. You know, I could tell so many amazing stories as he was going from place to place and what he saw and how he felt. But the point was, everyone had to surrender. Manmo had to surrender. She was a surrendered soul. Prabhupada told her, you know, make Krishna your husband. That was it. What were you? How old were you? When you and your brother went into Prabhupada's room and I was there? 3? 3, yeah. How old were you then? I'm sorry, I don't mean to ask you personal questions. 23-year-old with a child. And Prabhupada was so heavy, you know. I remember sitting in the room and thinking, wow. You know, Swarup, he was all, you know, super intelligent. It was all leading up to the idea that this poor little girl here, young girl, she needs somebody to take care of her. She needs a husband and she's got a child. And Prabhupada just started quoting Shastra and said, what's the guarantee the next one will be any different? You know, and then he said something to the effect that this is the problem. He said, women are not chaste and the men are not responsible. Right? He's, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you were old. Compassion, but he expected everyone could come up to that level and do as he was doing. That's what he would say, do as I'm doing, you know. And then he said, make Krishna your husband. That was always his advice. He would say, make Krishna your husband. So different things were there. But then whatever we did, he would just engage us in service. There was never any, whatever we may have, you know, we say fallen this way, that way. It was all right, now do your service. When I came to see him in 77, September 1977, I was temple president in Hawaii. So I was went there for 2 weeks. I spent with Upendra helping. And I went there with Mudded Visa. Mudded Visa had just shaved his head. He was in white now, a big seeker now. And we came in there together, and Prabhupada was so happy to see him. Now he was a grihastha, you know. He had been GBC, sannyasi in Australia. And Prabhupada said, so now you're a grihastha like Shruta Kirti. He said that twice with sannyasis who were now. He said, now you're a grihastha like Shruta Kirti. He said, just go on with your service. Just do your service. Be happy. You know. And when I went in the first day, when I got there in September, first offered my obeisances, and he looked at me, he said, so you're married again? That was my, that was number two. First one was very fast. That was like lasted a year or so. And I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, all right. He said, so everything's nice. And then that was it. That was the end. Never heard about it again. You know, unlike, you know, when you deal within the framework of the society and you kind of get reminded on a constant basis about your position, you know, or lack of it or whatever it is. But with Prabhupada, it was, this is, and then boom, then you just did your service. This is all we can do. It's the process, devotional service. There's no other way to do anything. Just wherever you're at, you just pick up, chant Hare Krishna, try to engage others in the process of Krishna consciousness. So it's very late. Hope to be there this evening in Harinam. Hope to see many of you out there, and we can help others come to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.